This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Phileas Club. This is a special episode of the show because we're not doing general news. We're taking a break, all right? We need a break. We're taking a break, and we're talking about some much easier topics like being a father. That's super easy, right? I'm Patrick Beja. This show is supported by its patrons at patreon.com/thephileasclub. And if you appreciate it, if you enjoy what we do, then please, please, please do consider supporting the show at the link that is in the show notes, because the patrons who support it are amazing people. And you can be an amazing person as well. It's super easy. Just support the Phileas Club on Patreon. Do it. And you'll be a fantastic human being. So thank you very much in advance. I'm Patrick Beja, as I said. I have a son who is now 3 years old. I can't believe he grew up so fast. It seems that every day he's getting older. I probably made that joke on the previous episode that we did together about fatherhood. That was episode 113 back in September of 2018. It's 2.5 years ago. Oh my God. Things have changed a little bit for me, but also for the other co-hosts on the panel. First of all, I'm very glad to be welcoming back Bruce Woodward. How's it going, Bruce?
Hi, Patrick. I'm all right. It's a bright and snowy Wednesday morning this morning. So, I'm all right. I'm actually awake at 8 o'clock. It's great.
Amazing. Did you wake up specifically for the show?
No.
Okay, that's good.
I'm usually awake. My boys usually have me awake at about 5 or 6 anyway, so it's fine.
Martin is here as well. Martin, how's it going? I forgot to mention, Bruce is in Scotland. Martin is French, but in Japan. How's it going over there?
Hey, everybody. Oh, pretty fine. So I'm really happy to be back on the show. And by the way, Bruce, yeah, long time no see, long time no hear. And you're wrong. It's not morning. It's actually the afternoon now. Actually, it's 5 p.m. here in Japan. And the temperature is kind of okay, about 10 degrees. So
10 degrees. It's minus 18 here in Finland, guys. Whoa. Minus 18. I don't want to hear any complaining. In space temperature they use in the US, it's probably what? Like, it's probably actually pretty close in Fahrenheit. I have no idea. Basically, it's really cold. So thank you both for being back on the show. But we also have another co-host who I'm so glad to be welcoming for the first time to this show. He's never been on before. Of course, I'm talking about Turkey Alballa. How's it going, my friend?
Hey, Patrick. All is good. Glad to finally be chatting with you again. It's been a while.
So you're so busy, you can't really be on the show usually, but people might wonder, oh, what's Turkey been up to? Like, what's he's been doing? And what you've been doing is making a baby and then taking care of that baby. And that is why you're on the show, because you have a child. And maybe we can start with you and just Just a little bit of context, because before we talk about how it is having a child and being a father, how old is he? Who are you? What are you doing? Just give the listeners a little bit of context who might not remember you from all those years ago.
Well, all right. So I'm a father right now. My son, Faisal, is just 8 months old at the moment. So his nickname is the COVID baby.
Nice one.
Yeah. The stories I'm going to tell, just wait for it. if anybody who does not know me, I'm from Saudi Arabia. I live in Riyadh. I'm married to my wife for 10 years, and this is our first son. And we're
survive.
Survive, seriously, guys, survive. And I'm sure you guys went through survival, but none of you went through it unless you had a baby during COVID.
I'm sure that was it. Yeah. You can do it, but you know, it's interesting. You're now at the point where I was when we recorded episode 113, the first of these fatherhood episodes, and you're at that point. And I didn't listen back to the episode, but God, I'm pretty sure I was fairly.
I think I remember that episode. I've heard it. I think you were basically just crying
for the hour that it took to record. Yes, absolutely. So, and we'll talk about that. But I got some interesting feedback from that episode. But Martin.
Sorry, my mic was mute. Actually, I was the one always crying of emotion, but Patrick was the one crying from despair.
Yes, no, exactly. That's what we mean. Yeah. So
I kind of have a saying, guys, that I keep on telling every person I meet. I'm loving fatherhood. Mm-hmm. I'm absolutely hating parenthood.
That's similar to something that I said. I think it was like, I'm really glad I have a baby, but I really hate being a father, or something like that. Or maybe the opposite. I'm glad I'm a father, but I hate having a baby. Like, we'll get back to it. Yeah. Martin, where are you? Who are you? What are you up to? What are your children or your child like?
Yeah, I'm still in Japan, obviously. So, yes, I'm, as you said, I'm French. I'm an illustrator. I'm drawing illustration for education, for commercial purpose. And I'm willing to do some interesting comics from now. Actually, I drew a comic book about my life as a father in the past years. Unfortunately, I had to stop, but I want to start again. So, and really, no, enjoying my days as a father, because my daughter, she was 7 when we did the first episode, and now she's 9 10, now. Guess, yeah. And even more cute, even lovely.
I think that's one of the takeaways. Like, it's for some people, it's pretty horrible, but it gets better. Every day it gets better. Bruce, what about you? Yes. You mentioned boys, so you have more than one.
Yes, I have boys. I've got two sons of 6 and 8. And, I think doing the maths, they were 4 and 6 back then. Maybe younger, 3 and 5. But we've had interesting times over the past 6 months. It's very difficult to think about anything before COVID, being a parent, because you know, we're all living in a small house with two young boys who want to get out and do stuff, and we can't do it. But so we what happened in that episode? I don't know what happened before March 31st, March 23rd, 2020. Nobody knows. Nobody remembers. So,
yes, that's true.
I don't think anything existed then. So, and I'll add to that, I don't even remember 2 weeks ago anyway.
So your youngest was about the age that my son is now when we recorded the episode. So you can give me a preview of if you start remembering, you can give me a preview of what's going to happen over the next few years. And finally, myself, I live in Finland. I'm French. My wife is Finnish. We didn't mention, but Martin's wife is Japanese. So there's some multiculturalism happening there. Obviously, in Finland, we're a lot closer. You know, we're European. So maybe culturally, it's very similar for her and me. Not entirely, but very. And so my son is three now. But the big change is that we are expecting a second child for the month of April. And that is...
Congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
Congratulations.
And I think people who might have listened to the first episode will be puzzled, as I'm sure is Turkey, was Turkey when he heard that we're having a second child, because... Back then,
still questioning that decision.
To be honest, so am I. I'm not sure of what we're doing here, and neither is my wife. But it was pretty clear to me that that would never happen back then, or you know, never say never.
Exactly. I remember clearly at the beginning of the episode, you saying to Bruce, how is that possible that you ever decide to have a second one?
It was certainly, I was in that space. And, you know, things haven't changed all that much. I think it's as much myself changing and my relationship with my son and with fatherhood changing as it is just kind of, you know, accepting your fate. This is what life is now. You know, there's this wise saying of asking God to show you, to, what is it? Like, to accept the things you can, have the strength to change the things you can and accept the things you can't change and know the difference, wisdom to know the difference between the two. It goes something like that. And there's part of it for me, which is I kind of have almost accepted that life has changed, and in some ways better, in some ways, well, I don't know about better, in some ways interesting and in some ways worse, but at the same time there is some improvements over the life. And a lot of people, when we recorded the first episode and when I've been talking about fatherhood here and there, have told me, you know, it's really refreshing to have someone say out loud how difficult it is and how crushing it is to become a father. And I'm sure there are different, you know, approaches to it and relationships to fatherhood and children. You know, maybe some are easier than others and some are harder for sure. But you always only hear how easy things are and how wonderful parenthood is. And very rarely do people say how difficult it can be as well. So a lot of people have been telling me that it's refreshing to hear that someone else went through the same thing as they did. And someone dares to say, guys, it's bullshit. It's horrible. Like, fuck all of it. I'll just say it. Fuck all of it. Well, not all of it, but and I think that's a good opportunity to go to Turkey to ask him how things have been. Basically, Turkey is going to be playing the role of Patrick from 2.5 years ago. How things have been since the birth of your child, and of course with the special circumstances of it being COVID. Yeah, Turkey, tell us.
Yeah, well, let's see. It's kind of difficult, but yeah, it's a combination of absolute misery and absolute joy. So it's,
yeah.
And with COVID, it's been a lot more difficult. First of all, we've been married for 10 years, and we've been trying to have a baby for the last, I think, about 7 years. And out of the blue, a complete surprise, here he comes. He was a complete surprise to us. We weren't expecting him. He just shocked us. And he decided that the best time to do that is during the year of the COVID.
So, and yeah, he's 8 months old now. So it really started at the beginning of the pandemic. Like he timed it exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. And he was born on May 29, which was the day the day before, I think on April 1st, the quarantine, the curfew, the 24-hour curfew was lifted on April 1st. So he decided, June 1st. So he decided to be born on May 29th. And I was not able to be there. I was not allowed in the hospital. And I was locked at home waiting for the news to arrive. So so that was a difficult time for me, just waiting. Thankfully, we were able to get my wife's sister to be with her. Although both of them had to have be COVID tested and they were not allowed to leave the hospital. And if they left, they weren't allowed back in. So they ended up spending my son was born and I did not see him for about, I think it was 7 days.
Wow.
Wow.
Except on FaceTime or
of course
photos. And the reason I couldn't, usually they should have left the hospital after a day or two, but he had some minor issues. I forgot the name of what he had for the first few days, which was when his skin turns yellow. And Arabic is called Safar.
Yeah.
So they had to put him under the light and so on. And so they had to keep him. Yeah. So they had to keep him there for a few days. And so I couldn't see him. Finally, a week later, I went to pick them up. And that's when the curfew was mostly lifted. And I went and picked them up and joy. And I just cried when I saw him. So. And carried him for the first time. It was amazing. And to be honest, I knew I would love him. But to be honest, I did not know that I love him as much as I do love him right now. So the amount of love I have for him exceeds what I expected. It was difficult for us. You know, COVID in the first few months, of course, his immune system is still weak. So we were extra cautious. We did not have help. We couldn't use our families for help. Curfew was around for a while, even though it wasn't 24 hours anymore, but there was still partial curfew. There were still lockdowns and so on. And we were kind of doing it all alone. And it was kind of a bit of difficulty not having help that we can rely on. And even when we did have help, we were so worried about exposing him to help. It was even more difficult
for
us. And I think the other thing is I kind of, compared to most, to my culture, I was more involved than other guys when it comes to their sons. And I decided to take that step. And for example, I'm the official diaper changer for him.
And is that something that is completely like...
It's almost unheard of for Saudi men to be that change diapers. So, of course, not all. There are exceptions, but the norm is... And you don't usually tell people that, but yeah, who cares?
You don't change diapers if you're a man in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, mostly you don't. And if you say you do, you'll be the joke of the group. So,
okay.
Are your friends like that? I mean, your friends, men and dad friends?
Mostly. I don't think they are judgmental about whether you change diapers or not, but they don't do it. So, It's kind of a cultural thing. And if they do it, I doubt at least most of them will not tell me if they do. Unlike me, that I have no issues saying it. And so I'm more involved with the child. For some reason, I'm extremely very protective of him.
Of course. I've met your wife, so I'm kind of not surprised you're doing it. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. I can see how that wouldn't go over so well if you didn't. But
Is that? That's not a compliment.
I think it is in the context of that context. I would say it is. But so, okay, how has it been going for the past? Because we've been chatting here and there, and things have been difficult for you. I'm curious to hear more.
As I said, it's kind of complicated. So I'm enjoying being a father. Fatherhood's amazing. And when he's laughing, when I'm carrying him, when he smiles at my face, when I play with him, it's just unbelievable, amazing. But then you come to parenthood, where you actually need to take care of him when he cries, when he's upset, when he wakes up at night, when he needs his milk. It's just absolute misery, especially when he cries uncontrollably. And I'll be honest, and I'm sure some of you went through this, and it's basically a personality trait, so not everybody would have experienced this, but there were points when he is uncontrollably crying, his mom isn't around, and I'm trying to manage him, and I reach a point where I have to put him down and let him cry and just ignore him, because if I continue holding him, I know for a fact I'll end up shaking him. Yeah. And of course, you don't want to do that, because I start boiling in anger. I actually shouted at him a few times, and I know he doesn't understand anything, but it's just out of control. You get this frustration, this anger, and I think once or twice I almost threw him to the floor.
Wow.
That's how difficult it is sometimes. And you really need to, and it's a struggle. I think the good thing is I realize that. So it makes it a lot safer for me. I can just put him down as soon as I realize I'm getting to that point. And thankfully, most of the times his mom is around and she just comes and takes over. And to be honest, mothers are amazing. I can't believe how mothers can stand their babies, because with my wife, at least with my wife, she has the patience of a god. Because she can handle him crying and going out of control to a point I could never.
That's without earbuds.
You know,
without earbuds.
Hearing you say that, Turkey, it just takes me back. You know, we're not supposed to have those thoughts and feelings and ideas in our heads, and we don't talk about it, but you're not alone. Feeling that kind of thing, and it's not, I don't even think it's a personality trait, I just think it's so difficult, the crushing responsibility of it. It's something we cannot control, but something we love so much.
I'll second that. It's you know, that feeling that you're describing, which is extremely, like, it's you're ashamed of it, and I had it as well, and it's difficult because you are...
Me too.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I guess all of us have had it. So you're
I did feel very ashamed of it. And but be honest, I'll be honest with you, Patrick, you helped.
Aww. Did I help when we talked?
You honestly helped. Because to be honest, nobody around me ever tells me. I hear stories, but nothing to this point that you. Mm. And maybe, and let's be honest, as far as I know, maybe because the people around me don't actually experience these feelings because they're not as involved as I am with the baby.
Yeah.
As far as I know, most of them, if not all of them, just throw the baby to their wives and she takes care of them. They only are there when the baby's happy.
Yeah.
And when they're angry or mad, they just hand them over to their wife. So they're not as involved as I am, as far as I know. I don't know if they are or not, but when I sit with the people I know and I talk to them, that's the impression I'm getting, that they're not as involved as I am. So they might actually not go through some of the things I'm going through. Yeah. But you guys, you Patrick specifically, when you talked on the show, the previous episode, and when we chatted together, I felt vindicated. I felt, yeah, all right, so this is normal. I should have expected this. But I went in, I expected it's going to be difficult. I expect it's going to be hard. But to be honest, I've never expected that there would be a point where I actually get so angry that I might want to shake him like crazy or just throw him or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. No matter
that they would ever come to me.
Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, you're right. No matter what you heard about parenting and how many advices you got, at the end you are not prepared.
There's just no way around it. You can't be prepared. And it's people never talk about this. And even when you hear it, to be honest, I have one friend who told me, like, it's going to be shit. It's going to be horrible. And that friend is Nicole Spag, Nicole Spagnolo, very good friend from the internet. And she had a difficult pregnancy, like even more difficult than everything we've experienced. And I'm guessing maybe more difficult childhood with her first kid. And she had a second one as well, interestingly. But she told me how bad it would get. And I didn't. As you said, Martin, I wasn't prepared. I couldn't realize. And I guess, Turkey, that's what you're experiencing now. When you heard me say it, you heard it, but you didn't realize how it was going to be, right? You didn't know how bad it was going to be.
I expected bad when I heard you, but the way I'm describing what I thought, the thoughts that went through my head when he's uncontrollably crying and I'm holding him, those would never have came to me as something that I might actually think or consider. And as you said, it's kind of, you feel shame, you feel horrible about it, you feel guilty, you feel like disgusted at yourself. But at the end of the day, when you sit down, you go through it, it's not something that you can control. It's not like you're deliberately doing this.
It's not like you're deciding, today I'm going to be taken over by some form of rage that is going to be, it's the tiredness as well. The lack of sleep, that obviously doesn't help.
And as long as you realize it and you actually control yourself and
of course
know when that's coming through and you take actions, you put the baby down, you walk away, take a breath, and you concentrate again, that's good. The problem is there are some parents out there, and we hear stories of that, that they don't realize it. They just let their emotions take over and they end up hurting their babies with either shaking them or throwing them or hitting them. And these are creatures. These are small babies. They don't know what they're doing. This is their only way of communication, is crying.
Of course.
That's all they have at this time of their lives.
Yeah. It's all right. So I think if you want more of this, you can go listen to the original one from from 2018. I do want to ask, so I guess maybe it's my turn because I was at that stage and things have evolved, and then we'll go to Bruce and then we'll go to Martin. But for me, I was at that stage and things have been improving. There was no like one thing that happened that made it better. It was just slowly improving every day. And of course, the fact that he went to daycare was very helpful. Turkey, you can't really put him in daycare now, but I know that you have
Jealous of your daycare. That would have been amazing.
I mean, daycare only started when he was 9 months old, I think, or 8 months old.
Turkey, you mean daycares are closed now?
Most of them are closed. Some are open, but. To be honest, I don't feel comfortable sending him to a daycare, even if it was available. People aren't that vigilant when it comes to COVID. And I think until my son turns 12 months old, I will be extra cautious about him being exposed to anybody.
Good.
And actually, we didn't. I wanted to mention this or to ask you, but the fact that you tried for so long to have a baby must make it even more complicated, like psychologically, the fact that you have these feelings.
I'm extremely protective. It's ridiculous the amount of protectiveness I'm giving. I've been criticized from my mom, from my sisters and brothers-in-law, from my own brothers, from my aunts, my uncles. They just criticize me like crazy from
because
the way
you're
I'm
too protective.
Extra protective. Yeah. And I yeah. just look at them and I'm telling them, really, and to be honest, let me tell you something. And I, Patrick, you know this, and I think maybe some of the listeners might know this. We did, my wife did get pregnant about 4 years ago, I think it was. And she was pregnant with twins, and we lost them. And we lost them when she was 5 months pregnant. And when we lost them, they were in a phase religiously here in Saudi. They are considered alive. So we had to bury them. Mm. So that was an extreme crush and emotional.
Well, sorry about that.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. So it was a huge crush and emotional back. And when people start telling me, you're overprotective sometimes, and when they push too much, I just look at them and said, when you bury your own babies, then come and talk to me about me being overprotective.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry, Turkey.
very sorry.
All right. Okay. Whew, I need a second. Okay. It does get better. Things do get better slowly. And now, after, like, he just turned three, I wouldn't say it's perfect. It definitely isn't I'm curious to ask you, Martin and Bruce, about this, but he is so agitated. Like, I often joke on Twitter that if we could master, like, using the energy of small children, we would solve the climate issues and energy issues we have in the world. Because it feels like you give them, you know, one calorie of food and they multiply it into, you know, 1500 of energy. He's running all the time, like all the time. And he's in his terrible twos still. Not as bad as it was a year ago, but he's still like he refuses to do stuff. And he has a loud voice. And that's maybe something that I said when I was
from
talking about when he was from the beginning. Like I from told that joke. That joke about the nurse who took him when he came out of my wife's belly, and he was like, "Oh, you're gonna have fun," and we were like, "What? Like, he's really like he's strong, and he is so strong-willed.
Future singer,
yeah, and he has such a strong will. Like, you will not make him do something that he doesn't want to do. Like, he is so like it's all. I'm talking about the bad." Things, quote unquote, bad things, but it's also super good. Like, he wants to do everything himself, things that he can't do. And when you tell him, okay, let me help you, he's like, he speaks mostly Swedish, but also a little bit French, but he stops you. He's like, no, I can do it myself. I can do it myself. And he's like, and you're like, you really can't, honey. You're like, but then you have to let him try. The only way that he will accept not being able to do something is if he tries himself and doesn't manage, and then he's like, oh, I couldn't. And you're like, okay, that's fine. So you end up letting him try everything. Like, he cuts carrots himself with his little knife that we bought, like the safe knife. He wants to try to do everything, but he's so...
Does he accept when he cannot do something? Or
yes.
I had the same question.
Yes, in the end, when he tries it himself and he doesn't manage, then he accepts. And then he's fine. You know, he goes, and I guess that's a child thing.
My nephew is completely the opposite of that, Patrick. You're lucky.
Well, I mean, did you say Faisal is the opposite or me?
My nephew.
Oh, your nephew. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know. But he is actually very considerate, very... calm when he gets his way. It's very he's not angry all the time, and that's the change from when he was 8 months old. He is a lot calmer, and he's a lot sweeter, and he's a lot nicer, but he has this super strong will and the, you know, terrible two phase where his initial reaction to anything, again, a little bit less now, but especially if you a few months ago, his initial reaction was no. And even now, like when we tell him, okay, you have to get dressed, or even sometimes we dress him, you have to get dressed, and he won't. And we ask 15 times and we tell. And you know, it's not, I thought when I wasn't a parent, I thought it was like, well, you have to be strong and you have to make them do it, or you have to do it for them. And it's like, I was so naive. Like, I'm caricaturing a little bit, but it doesn't work like that. Like, first of all, the worst thing you can do is force stuff on your children all the time. That is, like, terrible parenting. And second of all, we watch, especially with COVID, but we already, I think we would have done it anyway. He's usually a few months ahead of the development things that you know, we hear about in education books. And so anyway, he watches a little bit of TV. We're quite restrictive, but a little bit less with COVID. But he watches a little bit of TV, and he watches that show, Caillou, which is a Canadian show, I think, but it's in English and in French. And it's just about the life of a little child who's 3 years old. And he loves it because it mirrors some of his life. And so he watches a few episodes every weekend. And it's interesting because the show also teaches parents how to react. And in the show, the kid does something they shouldn't. And the parents, it's always so calm. You know, you go, you address it. And it, of course, the show doesn't tell you that it's supposed to teach the parents as well how to react. But it actually does. And sneakily that way. But when the parents say what they should say, the child accepts it. So in the show, it takes half a second and everything goes back to normal and perfect. But in reality, that's not how it works. You know, he doesn't accept the calm, mature behavior that you display. It's been a challenge in those ways. It's also been, I said, things improve every day. And certainly they have improved. He is adorable. Like, the feeling that you get, Turkey, of both like loving it and hating it at the same time, like the love increases so much. And it's true that he is, when he's being adorable, he's so adorable. And when, you know, he comes over and he's like, "Oh, I love you, Daddy," and gives you a big hug. We're very huggy in this family. Like, we hug all the time and we tell each other we love each other all the
time. That's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, and is he going to be a podcaster like that?
I hope so. He does podcast, quote-unquote, sometimes.
You want to know what Faisal's favorite thing when he's upset?
Tell me.
It's for me to pick him up and go to my gaming rig and podcasting equipment, and he just sits there and starts smashing the keyboard and playing with the mouse. He's the happiest kid in the universe.
He likes that as well. He likes pressing the buttons, and now he started playing console games. Even he's playing Mario Odyssey, and he's like, every time when he comes
nice
back
choice.
From, isn't it? Of course, Nintendo. Yeah. Like, I have such a different outlook on Nintendo and the friendly child friendliness of everything they do now, but. When he comes back from daycare, he's like, "Hey, Dad, you know what we haven't done in a while? We haven't played Mario Odyssey." And I'm like, "You played yesterday for half an hour. What are you talking about? You're not going to play
him,
every
it's
day."
Eternity.
Yes, that's true. It's very long for him, but he's not. He doesn't play every day. And now he's waiting for Mario 3D World. I told him there's a new Mario coming, and I made a little calendar for him and put a mustache where the game is coming on Friday. And he's like, "Oh, is it coming yet?" And we're like, "No, look at your calendar." So anyway, all of this is super cute.
We should do a complete episode about games and kids
for children. And I mean, you're not supposed to put them in front of screens when they're this young. He started before he was three, but it's so much of, you know, it was of course very limited. It was anyway very limited, but it's so much of how you do it, like what they do aside from that, how they are in front of a screen, and the difference between the TV and the computer games, and what games they play and how they play them. And anyway, we should do a whole episode on that. But I guess getting to the interesting thing, which is, why did I decide to have another one? Why did we decide to have another one?
Why?
Yeah,
why? I still don't know, man. I'm not sure. No, I mean, we wanted to. Okay. We wanted to from the beginning, maybe three. We're not getting three. And that time, like, I'm snipping the things that should be snipped for not having three. Definitely not three. But
okay.
We wanted to.
Who knows?
Who knows? But we wanted to, and he was at an age which was right for us to get to. And the thing, the fact that it has been getting better, and we feel like we're more prepared, because one of the things that was really difficult is that we had no idea how things were going to work. But now we do have a little bit of an idea. So it's going to be hard, of course, but we hope that we're going to be prepared for it. He's at an age where it's good because he's old enough that he's going to understand what is happening. And he's independent enough that we don't have to babysit him every single second, although he does require so much attention. Like when I hear parents tell me, oh, my kid plays by himself, I'm like, you lucky bastard. Like, he is jumping on us all the time if we're not playing with him. Like, all the time. Literally jumping on us. Like, when you see those images of nature documentaries with baby lions jumping on their father lions that are just lying there, that's me. On the weekends, that's me. And of course, I play with him a lot, but then I'm tired, and so I lie down, and he doesn't play with his Duplos or his cars or anything. Or reads or does puzzles. He does a lot of puzzles with us. He comes and jumps on me. Like, anyway. So he's old enough that
because
he's
you are his best toy.
I yes. Great. I'm both flattered and annoyed by that fact. But so he's old enough that he's going to understand what's happening and not require some constant attention. And what we're hoping is going to happen, we'll see what actually happens, is first of all, we hope that we're going to be so busy with the second one that we're not going to have time to dedicate to him. And I'm sure that part of it, part of his requiring our attention all the time is that we give it to him. You know, he's only child. And so I'm sure part of it is us. You know, we are always looking at him, always talking to him, always everything. So we're hoping that it's going to force us to pay attention to something else. We're hoping that when the second one is a little bit older, he's going to have someone to play with. You know, that it's going to, we're almost making the baby as much for him as it is for us. Almost.
I hope you're ready for child envy, though.
Child envy? What do you mean?
Your son is going to be envious and jealous of your new son, yes. And he's going to fight.
Yes,
for attention.
Of course. We'll see, but we'll see how it goes. Now, you know, it's not like we can stop it. It's done. It's coming in 2 months. So,
Are you expecting him to help you out to take care of the new one, or is he too young maybe? Or maybe Bruce can say us something about that, because he has two kids.
I'm expecting him to want to help and to help in some simple things. Yes, he's so, as I said, independent and strong-willed and wants to do everything himself. He's happiest when you give him a task. He is so happy when you tell him you should do this or you should do that. And we do it a lot, but like he does it and he's happy as a...
Like wash the dishes? Oh.
That's the long-term plan, Martin. That's like, mm-mm, in a few years, he's going to be in charge of everything in the house. He's going to run the house. Like, that's the plan. But yeah, Kerwin. So does it... Kerwin. Yes, sorry. I don't know.
Right name. That's funny.
Your name on the social network is Kerwin. That's why I say Kerwin.
Yeah.
Bruce,
that's it. That's
am I delusional?
The thing is, what happens with the second is that the dynamic changes completely. It just changes. You think, you know how you were talking about how difficult it was with your eldest and how things are and how nobody told you how it was going to be. Mm. I guarantee you, and you're going to hate me for saying this, but I guarantee you, you've forgotten how bad it was, and it's going to be that bad again, if not worse. Mm. the fact that
I have to laugh.
The fact that we had a, I mean, it's in the spirit of the show, I think, I've got to be honest, and I think we had kids who were 18 months apart, so that was maybe harder. You asked a question,
sure,
as to you know, Martin, but we did that on purpose. We thought, let's just get it all done. But Martin sort of said, you know, would your eldest be able to help? And I think that's an important point is, yes, you want to be able to concentrate on bringing up your youngest, but I think you need to involve him. And if he loves doing tasks, then give him tasks that involved his younger sibling. I don't know if it's going to be a boy or a girl. And make sure that he is involved, and that they have things that they can do together. Because what Turkey was saying about older kids getting jealous is a real thing. It didn't happen with my kids. I think it's because they're so close together, but I know of other parents who've had issues like that, where the eldest ends up hating the youngest because, you know, they used to be the world. They're everything to you, and what you have to do is be very, very careful that you don't.
And they feel that. Maybe that the love is being shared with someone else.
And that's
how
difficult.
Is that possible?
One of the things we used to do pre-COVID was that we would call it parenting Saturdays. So one day I would take one out, one Saturday I'd take one out and do something. So it was just me and one child, and then Kat would do that with another child the next week. And then so we'd take them all out. So we'd have, you know, I'd have 2 weeks I'd have a week with one child and a week with another, and then Kat would have a week with one child and a week with another. And what that did was we would develop our bonds with each of the kids independently. And I really wish we could do it now, but it's quite difficult. That really helped us create a dynamic. And what you've got to realize, and what I realize, is that my relationship with both my sons is completely different. It's completely different. And the second child is going to be different. You know, you thought you knew everything. You thought you knew everything. You just throw it out the window. Well, no, don't throw everything out the window, but throw the baby out. But it's going to be different, and you're going to have to, I think, adjust. But I guess...
I think everything you're saying, I'm kind of aware of, but I wonder if I'm aware of in the same way that I was aware of things before the first one came around, and then when it actually happened, I was like, oh my God, this is absolutely not what I was expecting. But everything you're saying, I have some awareness of, right? I understand that this is how it's supposed to be. Yeah. So I hope that I'm a little bit better prepared, but who knows?
And I think the other thing, you're very, very careful about... It's one of those parenting rules that you see, oh, don't let your child have too much screen time, this and that. Yeah. Sometimes you've just got to throw the rules out the window so you can get through the day. Mm. And if you end up, you know, sitting your eldest or the youngest in front of a TV show for a whole afternoon, well, if that gets you through the day and you're all alive and happy and still hugging each other, then that's it. There was a... God, I wish I'd looked it up before this, but there was a study that they'd done on child development and the different things that you know, go into the child development. And the only thing that comes out is how much the child is loved. That is the main key indicator of how a child's happiness is going to be when they come out. Yes, everything else has a little bit of an impact here and there, but if the parents love the child, make that child know they're loved, it doesn't really matter. Everything else. This is what I'm finding, and this is how I treat my kids at the moment. Is yes, you're loved. We're here for you.
That's it.
But you know, we can't do everything, and we're fallible. Make sure your son knows that you're fallible.
You know, that's funny. It gives me hope because, like as I was saying earlier, we tell him we love him all the time. We hug him all the time, even when we're angry at him, and even when we crack, because it happens, you know, to everyone, and you just blow up and you yell, and like it might take 30 seconds or a minute, and then we realize, you know, we went too far. We go to him and we hug him and we say, I'm sorry, you know, I yelled, I shouldn't have, but, and we explain so much what he's feeling, what he's, you know, why we got angry, and what really gives me hope in that area is that even when I, and my wife Sonia doesn't do it as much anymore, and almost doesn't anymore actually. But I would say now once a month, once every 2 months, I do get angry and I yell at him. Maybe once mm-hmm. a month. I'm being generous with myself. But even when that happens, his reaction is to actually start crying and come to me for a hug. You know, that really makes me hopeful, because he isn't afraid of me even when I yell. He comes to me and he wants a hug and he's crying. And when I ask him, you know, why are you sad? And he's like, oh, I don't like it when you yell or stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm sorry. And it's
yeah. The same in here, really. And when we get angry, it happens sometimes, and then we get to yell at her. Of course, she cries and she cannot stand it. And the first thing she asks after that is, so that means that you don't love me anymore? Of course not. So
the boys are the same.
Hugs, tons of kisses.
Really?
Yeah. Love is everything. That's so important.
Just as a side point, Patrick, it's nice to know, it's nice to see parents like you bringing up boys that are not afraid to hug and to, you know, hug their dads and kiss their dads and tell them they love them. And I know it sounds like a, you know, thing, but it's important that boys feel that they can, just as much as girls can.
And really, I see in Japan, maybe I don't know in France, because I've not been there in a while, but I see so many parents and kids, and obviously there's not much love between them. It's obvious, and it makes me sad.
In Japan, you mean there? Well, the social dynamics in Japan are so weird. Like, again, we could do a whole episode on that topic.
Indeed. Yeah.
So I'm fucked, is what you mean.
I think that's the right way of putting it. Yeah.
Okay.
You got the point.
Yeah, we'll see. I know that
you're
not
a big fan of you, because now you're putting ideas into Manel's head. Thank you very much.
I am so sorry. Honestly, hoping that the first one is going to have someone to play with, because especially in COVID,
that's the excuse she's using.
Yeah, I think that's a definite positive point, Patrick. That's something else I was going to say, was that them having each other to play with and to talk to is amazing. It makes up for everything else. So yeah.
I'm hoping that's how it works out, because he's home and he's alone, and of course he's bored, you know, and he wants to play with us, and we're not going to leave him in front of the TV, because when you start, you know, I try with myself so much not to put him in front of the TV. Like, we do it now, he's three, so he's like, the conventional wisdom is like half an hour a day average is okay, and we're like, we don't do it quite like that, but I always try to limit it so much so that it's the ultimate solution when we're so tired that we can't anymore. But so you're going to put him in front of the TV for half an hour, maybe longer on the weekend when you haven't used up your TV bank for a while. But that's going to be an hour and a half over the weekend. You still have 10 hours to fill. And thankfully, we're in, you know, the middle of the forest, so we can get out of the house, and the house is really big, so he can run around like a madman, and we're very lucky in that way. But we can't go out and have play dates, and we can't go to the playground maybe, but now it's there's so much snow that we can't. And anyway, so yes, of course he's...
How far are you from the closest town?
About 10 kilometers from the closest small village, which is like 500 people, and about 15 from the closest actual town.
I mean, from civilization.
The closest supermarket is about 15 kilometers away, but it's a small one. The actual town is maybe 30 kilometers from where we live. So, but on the other hand, you know, we just open the door and he goes out and he can play outside. And that's a, you know, very helpful thing in COVID times. But
no wild animals?
There are actually wolves on the other side of the inlet. But,
real wolves.
Yeah, real wolves that were reintroduced recently. But they're far away. It's okay. We did have a concern, however, when he was very small.
Not children small. Eating wolves.
No, they're not. I mean, wolves are really not a problem, honestly. I understand they're scary and they should, you know, you should be healthily scared, but it's not an actual problem. The one issue we had when he was very small was there's a couple of eagles in the area. And when they're very, you know, they can grab small dogs or small animals or very, very small. They could hurt a very, very small baby, I guess, in theory. So that's where I live. I live where eagles and wolves hurt small babies, I guess.
Wow.
You have so different issues to worry about for your kid.
So, yeah. Yeah. I guess... How are things, Martin, since 3 years ago?
Wow, that's a long chapter opening. But yeah, I will try to sum up. Yeah, everything goes pretty well and pretty smoothly so far. Really, I enjoy every day with my daughter, and it's a pleasure to see her growing up, and by the way, she's really growing up because she's 9, but she's already 145 centimeters tall, which
wow.
makes her the tallest of her class and maybe the tallest of her school. No,
tallest in Japan,
a bit, but yeah. No, really, she's pretty tall, and it's really incredible to see how things change and many small details and how her character evolves, and especially the double culture thing. I think you can talk about this as well, Patrick, because of course binational with
binational
two nationalities.
Sure. Mm.
Yeah, so of course obviously the French culture and the Japanese culture, how she gets into both of them, and how she approaches French, because French now, especially because of the COVID situation, we couldn't go back to France last summer like we usually do. So, and that's a big moment, a big step in her learning of French, of course, but of obviously meeting parents and relatives. And she is now losing a little bit of French. So yeah, I was a
very
bit
concerned
worried
about that,
because,
for mine as well.
Of course, yeah, she goes at Japanese school. Of course, everybody speaks Japanese, and I'm almost the only one who talk French with her. So, yeah, we are thinking of maybe having her in a small school to have really small French lesson, and especially with other French kids, really, because it's important for her to get to talk to other French nationals.
Yeah, that's.
But anyway, it's. Yeah, it's really so good, and I'm so happy because I'm a illustrator, designer, and I'm so happy that she's so creative. She likes to draw all the time, and we even do some comics project together, and she steals very often my iPad Pro, which is my main working tool. So yes, I'm really, and I something I want to say is that I want, it's a kind of like a illness, but I want to document everything, like to note everything she said, everything she does, take any pictures of what she does, to get a full life documentary. But I know that this is impossible, but.
So yeah. I guess I'm going to ask a question to both you and Bruce. I almost said Kerwin again. Both you and Bruce. When would you say things get I know what you're going to say, but when would you say things get easier? I know there are new issues that develop, but on the, I have to be on all the time, I don't have a life, I don't sleep, I don't, well, maybe not sleep. He still wakes up every other night. He wakes up once and calls for us. Like, when can you relax a little bit on the day-to-day concerns? I feel like we're on the cusp. He's 3, maybe around 4, maybe the, you know, when the terrible twos actually end. In your experience, if you remember, when would you say things get better?
Fabrice, please go ahead.
Okay. I would say you're about right, 3, 4. Both of our boys went through, you got the terrible twos and then the three-nagers, we called it. Because they were
the three what?
Three-nager, like teenager, but three, where they're still a little petulant and wanting their own way. But I would say 3, maybe 4. Definitely okay. By the time you get to 5. I think the moment for us, and I don't know what it is for you, it's when, I guess would be crude as, yes, you do the nappies, and then you potty train them so that they're able to go and, you know, do their thing by themselves. And then it's when they're able to wipe their butt themselves. And I don't know if you've had the, if you're at that stage now, but that is, for me, that was kind of like a landmark, because not having to change any more nappies or diapers is a big thing. It sounds silly, but it's a big thing.
Oh, it is. No, I mean, the fact now he goes potty himself, but he doesn't wipe his butt himself. I think we need to look at this at some point, but he doesn't. And I'm sure that once that happens, he goes on the pot, of course, not on the,
It's when they can go to the toilet themselves that there's a sort of pressure. Even at this stage, I have the boys will come through every so often, maybe once or twice a week during the night, and you're going to have broken sleep for a long time, especially if you are doing what you're doing. If you've got a child who likes to hug and cuddle, and sometimes they'll come through and want that. But there's nothing wrong with that. I think 3, 4, generally 5. It's a very slow process, Patrick. It's like you said, I think you're over the worst of it. And
with what I was going to say,
and with the first one, what I was going to say to Turkey also, and I don't know if you felt this, Patrick and Martin, was that the first year, the first 6 months, and I don't know if I'm going to get called out for being sexist on this, but as a father, I found that I loved it. I loved the kids so much, but the first year, it's so bored. They're so boring. They're just little lumps of lovable flesh that you want to hug and cuddle, but they don't do anything. They don't interact with you.
They are useless.
Yes, completely. The only thing they do is cry.
Yeah, and then but once they're able to start talking to you and walking and even stupid things like kicking a ball at you or throwing a ball or. It's they suddenly become interactive,
is the point.
Suddenly becomes a whole new ball game.
I think for me, definitely some of that, absolutely 100%. But also, I really don't enjoy kicking a ball. I don't really like building towers in Duplo. Like it's so boring. Still, I mean, it's less boring than when he was very small. And he can only do that, and he can do puzzles and. I'm like, okay, I can do that for 15 minutes, half an hour. But after that, I'm bored out of my skull. And you still have to do it or find something else or kick a ball or go outside. But it's like...
Patrick, you lost your child's soul.
Yep, oh, I can play Mario for hours on end. And he could too if I let him. But that, I'm looking forward to when he's like 6 or a little bit older, when he can do that for longer and it's okay and it's not going to screw up his whole psyche. The problem is we're going to have the second one that is not going to be able to do that, and so we're going to have to ration things, and anyway, that's a problem for another time. But I don't know what I was going to say. But yeah, when they're small, they're useless. But they nap. And Turkey, please appreciate the time when he naps. Because even for us, it was so hard because he would cry uncontrollably before going to sleep. Every time. I talked about this in the first episode, of course, I'm sure. But so much crying. And we tried
to nap as much as him.
Well, no, we would live our lives. Like, we would do stuff. I would, I don't know, play video games or, like, do stuff I wanted to do, watch a TV show. Now he doesn't nap. Like, from 2:30 already, when he's home, when he's at daycare, he goes to bed and maybe sleeps for half an hour or an hour during nap time. At home, he does not, and you will not get him to sleep. If you put him in bed, if you're firm, if you're kind, if you're understanding, if you're anything, you might manage to force him to go to bed, but he will cry and yell for half an hour or an hour until you say that he can, you know, now is the time you can get out of bed, and then he'll get out of bed. But, like, he does not nap. Anyway, bottom line, now, for the past few months, when he's at home on the weekends, he doesn't nap. So we don't have a break during the whole day. So we alternate between my wife and I, like, we each get an hour or whatever, or an hour and a half during the weekend, but that's it. And enjoy the naps. Enjoy the
naps. He's always harassing you? You mean both of you?
I'm already enjoying the naps. I'm already enjoying the moment he goes to sleep. And the longer, the better.
And he's always harassing us. Yes, Martin, to answer your question. Yes. Is that not the case with your daughter?
No. Of course, yeah. Maybe 1 or 2 years. But maybe because of the Japanese system, kids get quite independent quite fast. Actually, they go to school, even on first grade, they go to school by themselves. Okay, wow. No, I'm talking about when they are 6 or 7 years old, of course. But still, even at the daycare, they encourage them to do as much things as they can by themselves without being watched. Of course, they are being watched. But it went pretty smoothly on this side as well. And
it makes me think of a show. It makes me think of a show called My First Outing. How's it called in Japanese? Hajime no Dekake or something like that.
On Fuji, I've heard about
Fuji television. Like it's the first time the children are asked to go shop.
They send the kids pretty far.
Yeah, like to the convenience store that's pretty far away.
With a to-do list.
Of what to buy, and they film them. And they're 3 years old, and they go out to the store and buy stuff. It's like, wow.
Yeah. And they come back, and some get lost, but... pretty funny show.
But yeah, so I hope that this happens soon for mine, but it's also cultural, I'm sure.
It will.
Yeah.
I wish I was in a place where it's... a little easier to let the kid out.
This is a car
society. You can never let your kid out on the street, period. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just hearing a Frenchman speak Japanese, I never thought I'd you know, that's quite sexy.
You said on the past episode that we sounded cute.
Yeah, it's quite arousing.
I never do it on the show, but I. Boku nihongo ga ganska.
Wait, do that.
Ganska. Oh my god, ganska is a Swedish word.
I was like, mixed Swedish and Japanese. Wow.
Yes, it's horrible. I was like,
was kind of Japanese slang.
Yeah, it does a little bit. I was like, boku no nihongo wa ganska jozu desu. It's like my Japanese is somewhat. It's pretty good with the. Oh my god!
Awesome. Okay. Ganska. Okay, so I will note it and I will try to use it in Japanese. I will say it's like a new word to say awesome.
That's so funny.
Okay. Ganska.
So I do want to hear.
By the way.
I do want to hear. Oh, thank you. Yes, my accents are pretty good. if I do say so myself, my vocabulary and grammar is another story, though. I do want to hear a little bit more before we close off the show. I do want to hear a little bit more about how things have changed for you as well, Bruce, and maybe a little bit more for Martin, because we talked about early childhood and maybe around the 3 years old and a little bit older. I guess, Martin, you did tell us a little bit how things are going now, but yeah. Bruce, as well, how did it change from 2.5 years ago?
And also, by the way, Bruce, how old are your boys now?
They're 6 and 8.
6 and 8, okay.
I think what's changed, you know, it's like you said, it's something that changes a little over time. I think having a little more of a grown-up relationship where you can talk and have conversations and actually explore the ideas of life a bit more. Boys are just sort of, they're getting to a stage now where religion and the idea of concept of, I know it sounds grim, but it's come up, the concept of death and all that started. Generally, bedtime now is a story, and then you know, they've got to brush their teeth, own teeth, and
I can't wait for that. Like,
you know,
talking about how he fights me on everything, like brushing the teeth is like pulling teeth every time.
He wants to do things by himself.
Almost everything. Yeah. Like even for the teeth, he tries. But, you know, he's 3. Like, he can't brush them properly. And if you let him, then they're going to fall off before he gets his adult teeth.
I think I think I said it the last episode, and it carries on. It's just a continuous series of letting go. You know, it's you're just continually letting them do more and more and more. Yeah. By themselves and feeling like, oh my god, I can't wait until they're able to do this themselves. And then when they can, you're like, oh, I remember when I used to do that for you.
There is so much of the already, which is going to make parents of older children laugh and laugh at me, but there's so much of, oh, he was so small. Do you remember when he was so small and he was like this and like that? And it's like, he's pretty tiny still, but already it's a little bit like that.
I think for me, the way life has changed is I'm feeling like I'm a little more of an adult now. And I've got a little more of my life back from then. And it's so slow, you don't even notice it happening. It's only when I speak to you now, and even you telling me when, you know, my sons were the same age as yours is now back then. And I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, yeah, that's what it was like. You forget. You just forget. I think there's I don't know what it is. It's words are difficult. Evolutionary that we're just going to not remember the bad things.
Oh, yeah. One would have a second child ever.
No.
If you actually remember.
No, and,
like,
and
I'm sure,
you know, the first
thing I'm sure some mutation of some ancient human got a mutation where they remembered all of it vividly, and they just died off evolution
because they
didn't have other children.
I mean, the first thing I was going to ask you when you said you had a second child was, do you remember how they were made, and did you remember to stop doing that?
Well, you know,
but it is, you know, we're being cynical, I think, but as well as being realistic, but life gets better. It does get better, and you do miss some of the good things, and the bad things do fade. So listening to Turkey now, I remember the boys when they were so young and they just came out of hospital and just the pure love and just unadulterated feeling you have. But then also those moments when you're alone and there's no one else around and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you've got to be somewhere at, you know, 8, and this child just won't stop crying, and you have the darkest thoughts in your mind that you ever thought you would have. There's hope. Just do exactly what Turkey said, and I think that's some of the wisest stuff. Put the baby down, walk away, and go get yourself a cup of coffee. The child's not going to get scarred for life by being left for 10 minutes, as long as they're in a safe space, obviously. By being left for 10 minutes to cry, you know, it's healthy.
Yeah.
For everyone.
It's a little bit... I'm not there anymore. I might go back to it with the second one, of course. But yeah, I'm not there anymore. And I'm looking forward to what you're talking about, which is things slowly getting back to normal. And I think the other thing, and Turkey, that might be useful for you to think of as well, is that as much as I wasn't prepared for how horrible things were going to be in the beginning, I also wasn't comprehending that they would get better.
Yeah.
And now I have a vision of that. Because people were telling me, a few people, very few, were telling me, oh, it's going to be horrible and your life is going to change and everything. And I didn't hear that. And at the same time, the same and other people were telling me it does get better. It, like, for me, they were telling me, oh, you'll see within 3 months, you know, things will be better. And I was like, 3 months? I'm not going to last a week. What are you talking about, 3 months? And
you promise me, Patrick, it's going to get better.
I absolutely do. And I so understand that you can't hear it, because I couldn't hear it, as I was saying. But having lived through it once, as bad as it will get, I think I will have the experience, the life experience, that it does at some point get better. And that is also valuable, because it allows you to, you know, relativize, like put a little bit of distance between you and what's happening. Mm. And that's very helpful, I think. But
I think just one final thing before I shut up. The other thing is that every child is different, Patrick, and the experiences you've had with your first, it's going to be different. And you think you know everything. And I don't know if I've just said it before on this podcast.
You did.
It's going to be different.
And that's another thing.
My short-term memory is terrible now, and I blame the children for that.
Martin?
Yes, I said you. And you will be lucky because, as... everybody said, things are going to get better. You are going to get better, and your oldest child will get better at the same time. So many, many things will get better at the same time, and you will be able to enjoy all together. So I think it's a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. There's also, I think of all of this, and my wife is like, oh, but you'll see, it's going to be easier because we're used to it, and we have, you know, all of this. And we have already done it once, and we'll have more help. Actually, that's one thing. We're not going to be shy about asking for help. And hopefully by, you know, then we'll be able to get help and the family. And in Finland, COVID isn't as bad. So that's a part of it. But at the same time, I'm like, yes. But I'm not being a good improv person. I'm not saying yes and, I'm saying yes, but we also have another child that we're not done taking care of that's going to be added on top of the new one that's going to be horrible. So that's, you know, part of the issue. But I guess I'm going to reveal something which might make me sound sexist as well, like you, Bruce, earlier, but I'm going to reveal something to you. And it's the fact that we're having a girl.
I was about to ask her.
I'm so hoping.
I feel sorry for you, Patrick.
I really feel so sorry for you. All of the cliches are true, that boys are rowdier than girls and that they're more difficult and have more energy. I'm so hoping that
I've heard the
girl
the opposite,
is
going to be.
Oh my God! Like, I mean,
no.
My
for
wife.
For you, the girl's gonna be worse. She's gonna run your life, not the boy.
Yeah.
Well, that from a very gender stereotypical country. For us, they're both exactly the same, to the point that
ask you after she's born.
I know. I, like we were extremely gender neutral with our first child. And my wife is like, okay, I'm super feminist and like gender neutral. We have to buy this girl some dresses. Like we have to have
no
dresses.
Pink stuff.
No, we have no pink and no blue stuff. Like we take it. It's I don't think it's an extreme, but we just choose other colors. Like we have a few blue things. It's not true, but we try to be a little bit gender neutral.
For my daughter.
Yeah.
For my daughter about the gender things, we got to talk to her about this pretty early, and she got kind of aware of it. And in the early years, and when she was 2 or 3 years old, and of course at the time, of course in Japan it's always gender oriented. So yeah, blue
yeah,
for boys,
very, very
pink
much
for
gender.
Girls. That's a crappy thing. And we said. Not we didn't force her to not like the pink color,
of course,
but somehow it came that she didn't like it, and she would pick up the blue or even red or orange, any other color than pink. And I can't forget the moment at the it was the daycare, and she has a friend and a little girl maybe. A bit younger than her, but when my daughter Manon stated that she didn't like pink, the other girl looked at her. What? You don't like pink? Like the world was falling apart. She couldn't believe it.
That's funny.
It's funny. We've got exactly the opposite with that. With my youngest son, he loves pink, but he won't admit it at school.
Oh,
which is very sad. Yeah, but it's his favorite color. But he's very embarrassed about it at school. So.
That's cute and yeah.
Sad.
At some point, he will.
For him,
you know.
Yeah, he will. He will. Yeah.
I also want to mention. It's not like we're gonna fight her if she likes pink. If she wants pink, it's absolutely fine. You know what? If she leaves me alone when I'm playing, you know, when she's playing by herself, she can do anything she wants. I don't mind. Go play with your brother. Don't bother me. I'm busy. I'm watching a horror movie. You can't come into my office.
I'm busy gaming. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm playing Doom. Okay. This is not appropriate for you. And of course, the only thing they're gonna want to do is play Doom when I say that. Obviously. So, I just want to be left alone. That's what modern parenting is. You just want to be left alone, and you never are. That's what happens. I mean, that's what parenting is. Period. Unless you're a father in Saudi Arabia, apparently. Who wants, like, we're all men here. We can be honest. No woman listens to this podcast anyway. Whose brilliant idea was it to have, like, feminism and equality and everyone doing the same things at home? Who got that idea? I
okay,
want to go live in Saudi
don't be
Arabia.
Offended, but it's you morons.
I want to go to Saudi Arabia, and when I'm displeased with the behavior of my child, I just hand him over to my wife. And I only, you know, there's this, I come from a Middle Eastern background, as some of you know. My mother grew up in, my parents both grew up in the Middle East. And when I was very young, we had a maid at home before we had to leave because of the war and be, you know, and go to France. And we had a maid at home. And so she would come and present me to my mom and dad when it was time to go to bed. And she was like, oh, okay, so cute. And then you put him to bed. And you worry about all the problems and all the things. And I mean, obviously, my parents weren't super wealthy, but that was a normal thing back then. And they were, you know, taking care of me as well. But it wasn't like we were living in a palace and they would only see me 10 minutes a day. But maybe that wasn't so bad of a, you know, way of doing things. Maybe we should, you know.
How long did it last, by the way, your
a couple
your
of years before the war.
You're alone. Your wife isn't right there, is she?
She's not, but I think if we could. She
yeah,
might
you're so
not
brave. I'm saying that to her face.
She might not approve of the let's let the wives take care of the children, but I'm not so sure she would disapprove of the let's have the help take care of the children when we're not, you know. Because honestly, okay, if we're getting serious,
you do for realize a second, we do have help right now, right, Patrick? I told you.
Well,
that, right?
You do. I do not.
Yeah. And let me tell you, and within society, yes, you're right. In a lot of families, depending on the family, but in a big majority of family, unfortunately, the help does take over taking care of the child to a point that is ridiculous in some families. In my family, we've decided that the help is only there for support.
Right.
And that's what we're trying our best to do, is we're the ones who's going to raise him, not the help. And unfortunately, I've seen families and I've met children that were raised by the help, but they hardly know their parents.
Yeah.
That's a shame, really.
I understand the feeling. I wouldn't do it, but I understand why you, if you have a certain type of child. But if we're being serious for a second, one of the issues is that I really believe now that children aren't made to be raised by nuclear families. Like, this is not how it's supposed to work in nature. And I have a completely different understanding for families that have, you know, have uncles and aunts and grandparents that are extremely involved. For us, now we've changed it a little bit, and Sonia's parents are involved a little bit more, and his brother as well. But initially, we were like, okay, so it's two parents and the children, and that's how it works. But it can't. It's so tiring. Like, it takes a village makes so much more sense to me. Like, you have to have help. And for you, Turkey, I'm very sad that in your society, where families are also very important, and I know this because I also come from a Middle Eastern background, you can't now because of COVID, because you would have help all the time. He would grow up with his, I mean, hopefully within, I know, you know, vaccination is going strong in Saudi Arabia. Hopefully all of your relatives will be vaccinated soon and they can, you know, grow up with the other children, and it will be so helpful. Because just being two parents and a child is that's not how it's supposed to work, I guess, is my.
Patrick, I have to run. Sorry, something very important just came up.
Okay. Thank you, Turkey.
All right.
Have a Thank good you. Luck. Bye.
Thank you. Good Bye. Luck.
Okay. Well, his link to his Twitter account will be in the show notes if you want to hear more from Turkey. And I think this is probably a good point to end the show anyway. We've been going on for about an hour and a half. Anything else you want to add, guys, about your experience in the past 2.5 years or our general musings about parenthoods and fatherhood? No? Martin?
I would say, yes, just a last thing I was thinking about is I was interested in how much should I share what I experienced when I was a child. I mean, especially in the pop culture thing. I think she has to grow by herself. I mean, to do her culture by herself. But I always feel, maybe you feel the same, Patrick, that you want to share, you want to show your boy what you've seen when you were a kid, like the usual Goonies and Back to the Future stuff, without being sure she will or he will enjoy. And I try to, but I force myself not to share too much because maybe it's too much. So, but I'm happy that for some of this pop culture thing, she enjoys. So what's your side and Bruce?
Well, I mean, for me, I'm very much not I don't have the nostalgia of the things from my childhood, or I appreciate them, but I also understand that that was of a different time. And maybe it's like, if my parents were like, oh, you should listen to Elvis Presley, it's so cool. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, okay. But there's this Michael Jackson dude who's doing kind of inspired stuff by things that were inspired by him and also other stuff. And he's really, like, he's cooler. so I try, like, for the video games, for example, I initially I made a couple of levels that were designed to teach him the basics of jumping and running in Mario Maker. But I didn't force him to play Super Mario like the first one initially. I think that's a bit dumb. Like, I no judging those who do, but I don't do that. So I suspect if he wants to watch old stuff, it's fine. I'm not going to tell him, yo, you only have to watch stuff from 10 years ago maximum. But I don't take that that path of forcing him to do things in chronological order. But yeah,
that's a good way.
What about you? Bruce, go ahead.
I think I don't. It's not something I've. You know, it's nice, but I don't have any nostalgia. I've learned to, you know, move, not have it. So I'm pretty much where Patrick is. It's you know, there's going to be new things, and yeah, we move along with it. It is quite fun because their kids are into memes right now, and when they see stuff from my past that's turned into a meme, and we sort of say, oh, this is where it's from, they're like, oh wow. But then I remember the same sort of thing happening with my parents. We didn't call it memes, but my culture and my history right now is so messed up that I'm quite happy for the boys to discover as they go.
Yeah, I can understand that. All right. Well, thank you to both of you for spending an hour and a half of your time with me, and to Turkey, of course. Who knows? Maybe we'll do it again in a few months or a couple of years and see where we stand. And that can be an interesting series to keep following.
Yeah. Every 2 or 3 years is a good pace.
Yeah, it is. It is.
I wonder if maybe I'll need to do something about how I'm surviving with the second child after a few months only to see if it's different from the first one.
Patrick, and I also, the survivor.
Yeah. But I also really wonder how, because I guess I'll have the answer with the second one or potentially, but I really think that our first is very agitated. Like, not agitated, that's not the right term, but he is, again, his strong will is so
active.
Strong. Very active and very active. Like determined on everything, and everyone tells me, oh no, you know, it's normal, that's how. So I'm like, okay, you know what you're talking about, the people from the daycare, and like everyone is like, no, it's, he's a normal kid, like he's active but not, is he's not different. But I'm really hoping that secretly he actually is, and he is, you know, especially at home, out of the norm, and that the second one will be calmer.
By the way, when is he expected?
April, early April.
April. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Patrick, you may be right, because I've found that the kids act differently around different people. Mm-hmm. You know, my boys, one of my sons in particular, is very picky about his food in front of us. Yet he goes to his granddad and eats exactly the same things.
Yeah,
and without complaints. So, yeah, you may be right. You may
I
be
think
right.
There's he a little be, bit yeah. of that, a little bit. And he's he's super comfortable at home, but he's quite shy when there are other people. So I suspect, although he's very comfortable at daycare nowadays, he's been going there for 2 years. But anyway, all right, we'll see.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. thank you both.
If people be okay.
want more,
<Thank you.
laughs> if people want more, where would they go? Kerwin, Bruce. Kerwin.
Well, that you'll find that's who I am on Battle.net, and that's what everyone I know who I play well calls me. So I'm not interested. But yeah, so you'll find me on Battle.net or on Twitter, which will be on the show notes.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
Martin, what about you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram on the name Baron Malotin, which will be shown on the episode notes. And I'm now redoing from scratch my website with some fresh illustrations. So I will tweet about that when it's done, in Blizzard style.
When it's done. Perfect.
When it's done.
All right. Well, thank you very much again to both of you. For me, it's Not Patrick on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also find links to the different things I do on notpatrick.com. If you speak French, I have a number of shows in French. Le Rendez-vous Tech, about tech news. Le Rendez-vous Jeu, about gaming news. Super Laser Punch.
Nice shows, by the way.
Thank you. Super Laser Punch is about superhero stuff, and we do weekly recaps of, or not recaps, but debriefs of WandaVision at the moment. It's in French as well, but if you speak French, go check out Super Laser Punch.
Very nice title, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought, you know, everyone goes Supercast or Marvel Podcast, or, and I was like, no, we're going to do something original.
Boring.
Which is going to screw up our SEO for every until the end of times. It's impossible to find unless you know the name. So well done, Patrick. But Super Laser Punch. It's in French. It's pretty cool. And of course, if you enjoy this show and want to support it and maybe want to follow us for the next few years of parenthood and of fatherhood, you can check out the Patreon for the show. Patreon.com/TheFilliasClub is where you would go to support the show. And I hope you consider doing that if you enjoy what we do. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back in a few weeks with another regular episode. Talk to you then. Bye.